I hate paying bills. It makes me ill. Makes me want to kill those who get their fill off my tax. Don't even ax how much they ax off my greenback. OSHA, FICA, Medicare, and now I have no bus there. I hate paying bills. It makes me ill. Makes me want to kill those who get their fill.
Listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard there from the Funhouse Comp Thing, Warning, Danger, with I Hate Bills from the amazing Funhouse Comp Thing Volume 2 compilation celebrating the wonderful Funhouse Club in Seattle, Washington, not far away from the McDonald's near the Space Needle. Today on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with from Los Angeles, California, emanating from an amazing all-ages venue, No Age. Although it's not all ages at the Funhouse in Seattle, it's still the same vibe. No Age today on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. However, just dropping into the studio right now is, who are you? Please, who are you?
I'm Bryce of Goodbye Enemy Airship.
And I'm Marco of Goodbye Enemy Airship.
And Marco, what are you doing here? You're new to Goodbye Enemy Airship.
Yeah. Brand new. They flew me in from Toronto, and I'm the new sax player, so just grooving.
So you're flying in for a gig and then flying back to Toronto? Because
he came on
explain
tour.
The band, please, Bryce. Could you explain? Who is in? Let's just go through this again. Who is in Goodbye Enemy Airship?
I'm in Goodbye Enemy Airship.
Okay.
And David Amar is in Goodbye Enemy Airship. And Ben Feldman's in Goodbye Enemy Airship. And Josh Short and Ben Short and Shinosuke Otaka and Chris Toyota and Julian Amar and Michael Lazaro and Michael Tarves. And
Paul Kim
is in Goodbye Enemy Airship, and Danny Koch is in Goodbye Enemy Airship, and now Marco Jovanovich is in Goodbye Enemy Airship, and sometimes we play with a bunch of guys from Courtney who call themselves Cosby and Sons.
So Goodbye Enemy Airship from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, but Marco, you're from Toronto. Who did you replace? Are you replacing anybody, or are you just adding to the band?
I'm just adding to the band. I thought I could bring some new sounds in, and hopefully they're working, meshing, you know. I think everybody's happy.
So, Bryce, what is the configuration of music in Goodbye Enemy Airship?
A configuration of music?
Yes, yeah.
Mean?
Who plays what?
Well, fuck. Marco plays a horn.
Yes. How many horns do you have now?
So we have four horns now. So we have a baritone saxophone, a tenor saxophone, an alto saxophone, and a trombone player. And we're trying to find a trumpet player. So we'll have five eventually.
And you're a singer and you still don't know quite how to use the mic. Please speak.
Sorry, I'm trying to.
Yeah, okay. Don't care about me, just care about the mic technique. That's
okay.
All important.
So,
and you're a singer, Bryce. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Go ahead, yes.
And Ben also sings. So we have two singers, a horn section, a cello, and a violin. a keyboard, a guitar player, a bass player, a drummer, and Cosby and Sons plays tambourines.
And it's amazing the gigs you do in the small places. Where have you played? How did you end up in a band, Marco? What can you tell the people about Goodbye Enemy Airship? Since the last time Bryce came out to CITR, when it was, I guess, a few months ago, Marco was not here. What can you tell the people about the Goodbye Enemy Airship? How were you convinced to be in the band? How would you describe the band? How were you described to get into the band?
The way they coerced me into it, I met David Amar, the drummer, in Toronto. We went to school together. And he said to me, hey, I play in this band. We do some funky stuff. And I said, well, what kind of stuff? And he played me Big Fancy Parade, which is the first track off their EP. And I started dancing immediately. And I found it infectious, so I decided that I needed to be part of this infectious disease that was spreading across the nation. And they flew me out, and now I'm one of the spores that unleashes my infectious dancing onto people.
I guess it's easy to raise money to fly somebody out like Marco because there's so many people in the band. If everybody gives a bit of money, that's going to be a lot of money,
isn't
it?
Well, that's the thing. We just bought a bus so that we could go across the island. And the thing that we realized is, like, even if we don't make any money on the island, we could just sell this bus for more money than we bought it because 12 people pitched in on a bus. So instead of playing music, we could just be buying things.
So if everybody wants to contribute, having 12 people in a band is quite economical.
Totally.
It really helps. If everybody will pay. But does everybody pay? Is it hard to get everybody to pay?
No, not everybody pays. I paid, he paid, Mike Tarves paid, and Mike Lazzaro paid.
You really want to isolate the people that didn't pay.
Well, yeah. Chris Toyota didn't pay a fucking dime.
But they did show up, though. They did show up and
showed
practice.
Up.
And played a great show, too.
Yeah.
And then demanded money.
Yeah.
So you pay twice.
So we pay, yeah, essentially.
And you guys were doing a tour of the island. You've got some gigs coming up here now. The last time I talked to you, you played the Casa de la Artista. It was amazing, that show. I must say, watching that show, it's like all of you guys up on stage, but then you have all these amazing sort of props, outfits, like spacemen. Could you describe what was happening?
Well, we started the show off by dressing in robot outfits that Ben and I had made that day.
And now, when you say we start off the show, can you describe Casa del Artista?
It's tiny.
Yeah, like it's a tiny
it's
room.
It's a tiny
and it
little
was packed,
room. Yeah.
Wasn't it? It was packed with people.
Yeah, and so it's this tiny room, and everybody squished together, and Ben and I came from the back dressed in robot outfits while our band is playing this really epic, eerie, almost the beginning. It reminded me of the beginning of Star Wars when it's that great big shot and it's going over into the Death Star. And it was like that, but it was so packed and we tried to get into this room full of people and we ended up taking off our outfits and people ripped them to shreds. And
well, it's just amazing. Like, you were going through the crowd in this tiny little room. You made it up to the stage. Your outfits, yeah, were getting chucked back and forth in this tiny little room. It was just like the full-on show, even though it was in this tiny room.
Yeah.
It was just so great to see all that stuff. And people on stage were dressed in a certain way. What type of stage gear is Marco going to be wearing?
Marco's going to be wearing a unitard, a full-on turquoise unitard. We're going to get Marco to grow an even bigger mustache than the one that he has right now. And he's going to be wearing nothing but pink cowboy hats.
And what was people wearing at that particular concert? What were they wearing?
I was wearing a really nice Sunday flower dress. Ben was wearing a Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club jacket. And I remember Ben Short was dressed like a cowboy. Looked like a good cowboy.
And, of course, the Search Parties played, who I played last week
on
the Nardwuar to Human Survey radio show, and they were wearing some hospital gear.
They were dressed in scrubs.
Which they had stolen from a hospital when the lead singer stole some stuff after visiting his grandpa or something like that, which I thought was really good. Get something out of the hospital system and bring it back to Cafe Casa del Artista. And where are the gigs coming up right now for the airship?
Well, we're going to be playing back at Casa del Artista on the 25th with the Perks, Asasas, and the Beauties. And we're going to be playing out in North Vancouver at a place called Camilo Studios, which is on, do you have the, it's on the 18th.
It's on the 18th. It'll be $5, and we're not sure of the address, but details to come.
Check out your MySpace.
Check out our MySpace at goodbyeenemyairship@myspace.com.
So, Marco, were you on this last tour that happened?
Where?
Were you on this last tour?
Oh, yes, yeah. Went on the island.
This is with Search Parties, too, wasn't it?
This is with Search Parties as well. it was a great time. This is my very first time out to the West Coast, and I think I got the best possible island experience I ever could have gotten.
Where did it start?
Where did it start?
Nanaimo.
We started in Nanaimo, and I guess the highlights would be Hornby,
yeah,
where the locals just hate me.
The locals hated all of us.
What was the other
now, how
highlight?
Do you know somebody hates you?
Well, the locals didn't take quite kindly to us, and there was a lot of near fighting experiences with the locals. And so one of the nights we ended up having to protect our bus, thinking that a bunch of locals were going to come down a dusty trail. And
so you did two nights on Hornby? Who booked
this
tour?
No, we played one night on Hornby, but stuck around because we were having such a good time fighting off locals.
That's awesome.
Bryce was actually on top of the bus with a frying pan and two cans of soup ready for anyone that was going to come across his way.
Did they always react this way to traveling musicians? Who had they seen
on
previously?
Hornby? There was a festival going on, but we didn't know any of the bands. So I don't know if they react this way to other local acts that come through Hornby, but they definitely
react. And it was Marco's introduction to playing with Goodbye Enemy Airship.
And his introduction to British Columbia.
And then after that?
After that, we went to Victoria.
Uneventful?
Nah.
Yeah.
Victoria was a lot of fun. Our show in Victoria didn't go so well. It was kind of overbooked, and it didn't work out the way that we wanted it to work out. So,
How was it overbooked?
Well, there was too many bands playing, and somebody who we won't mention kind of screwed it all up, and we weren't even on the bill. And so we had a three-song set, and Search Parties had a three-song set, and it just didn't go well.
I think there were five other bands other than us.
Yeah.
So packed into 2 hours wasn't a lot of fun for any of us.
And then after that, where'd it go? Because you had a lot of island action here. You did a full-on island tour.
We didn't make it to Duncan because our bus broke down in Victoria. So we're sitting in a parking lot in Victoria, and our bus driver, Captain Paul, was like, I don't think we're going to make it all the way up to Duncan because his bus isn't going anywhere.
Even though you bought the bus.
Yes, and it was poorly built.
So that's where the tour ended?
Yeah, in Victoria.
Did you try to get another gig there?
In Victoria?
Yeah.
No, because the night that it ended was the night after our show, and we were just like, we're not going anywhere unless this bus takes us home.
So it sounds like Hornby Island was the highlight.
It was the highlight, and we had a really epic baseball game, too.
And now you've returned to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada for these gigs coming up on Monday night in North Vancouver.
Yes.
And then the next Monday night as well? You play a lot of Monday nights, don't you?
It's our favorite day of the week.
Yeah, we don't have jobs in our door.
And they're all ages, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, both are all ages.
But Bryce, you kind of have a job. You're like an actor, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, you go to school in New York.
Yeah.
What were some of the actors that spoke to you? Because you have, like, actor school, right?
The actors that spoke to me personally?
Yeah, like, don't you have, like, an actor school where the actors go in and speak to you?
None of the actors that graduated this year came in and spoke to us, but I've seen other little actors walking around the school that have, such as Diane Keaton drops by occasionally. I've been told Robert Duvall walks around occasionally and comes and says hello because these are all people that had graduated from the school.
So what's going to happen now with your acting in the band now that September comes about?
I'm going to go back to school and then hopefully come back in the summer. But I don't know. I'm just really excited to be playing with the band right now. And then on the 7th, I'm going back to New York and studying acting.
And Marco, what about you? Who's in your acting school?
My acting school is more so the University of Toronto, where I'm sort of taking literary studies. And I say sort of because, yeah.
So who have you bumped into there?
Who have I bumped?
Like, who's the Robert Duvall of the University of Toronto?
Oh,
who's
geez.
The Keaton of the University of Toronto that you've seen?
Because
everybody lives in a parallel universe. So it's nice to seeing Diane Keaton. You're seeing
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, he was walking down Yonge Street with Black Thought, and I sort of Black Thought from the Roots, and
who David loves. David is the drummer. Yeah, and Goodbye Enemy Airship. And we're speaking here live to Goodbye Enemy Airship on an Artbody Human Serviette radio show.
And so walking down Yonge Street, see these two guys, and first I noticed that it was Mark Wahlberg, and I said, hi, and he said, hi, and Black Thought said, hi, and I said, wow, I love the Roots. Have a great day, guys. And I walked, and I got some Vietnamese food.
What an amazing moment. Was there a Roots gig happening that day? Did you go to the gig? Did David go to the gig?
David actually had left town by this point. He was already back in Vancouver, and I was in Toronto. I saw the Roots play 2 weeks later. I guess they were just visiting or doing something in the city. But, yeah, 2 weeks later, it was an amazing, amazing show at the Cool House.
So if people want to hear Goodbye Enemy Airship, they can listen, because we're going to play right now Big Fancy Parade. Mm-hmm. And Goodbye Enemy Airship can be described as a combination of Marky Mark and the Roots, right? That's all that comes together, pretty much?
That's who we were thinking about when we started the band.
Exactly.
Big Fancy Parade. And how did the other gigs go that you played that were listed on here, the Hokos and
Hokos was terrific. Hokos, we got shut down after our first song because there was lots of underage drinking and all sorts of nonsense. And so the cops told us, Hoko kicked us out. And I was like, Hoko, don't worry about it. I'll get everybody out of here in like 1 second. So I pulled everybody out in the street. We took apart David's drum kit and we had a giant parade, an actual big fancy parade, down Three's Tastings out in front of the police station. And we were surrounded by police officers just with blazing lights and dancing out in front of the police station.
That was what's so amazing about seeing you guys, is the crowd is just so into you guys. And Search Party as well, like that gig that I attended, everyone was like so into it.
Yeah.
They were just like totally into it, like not jaded at all.
No.
So I could totally see you pulling them out of Hoko's there.
Yeah,
was it that same type of crowd?
Yeah, it was that same. Well, it was 2 days later.
So when you describe a bad gig, it probably isn't a bad gig. It's just because you're used to a whole bunch of good gigs, right?
Nah, the bad gig was just like number one, we were tired, but like that wasn't really the issue. The issue was just that everybody was standing around walls and the sound man wasn't there, so I couldn't hear anything except for myself screaming. And everything was just totally muffled, and there was no heart in that Christian church that we were in.
On Hornby Island?
In Victoria.
Oh, okay, in Victoria.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hornby was a great show.
Hornby was a great show.
We had about 250 people there packed into this little auditorium.
But why did you end up on top of the bus, though?
Because some of the Hornby locals didn't take to us with flying colors.
After the show. Was over and done with.
So
yeah.
Were you chased to the top of the bus?
No.
How did that happen?
Well, let's just say that an incident occurred with one of the locals' cars, and the locals ended up punching Chris in the nose, breaking Chris's nose. We got back to our campsite thinking that they were going to come and destroy our bus. So we all slept around this bus with whatever we could find to protect ourselves. And then I decided that I was going to sleep up on top of the bus with some soup cans and a frying pan in case any Hornby locals came by.
The rest of us had sticks and stones, which, contrary to popular belief, will not break your bones.
And this all directed against an 11-piece band, or was it a 12-piece band?
At the time, it was a 10-piece band, because two of our members couldn't come on tour.
At a 10-piece band, all this aggression was directed. It was like punk rock going to Hornby for the first time.
Yeah.
Probably not at a punk rock, but it was the first time they'd experienced a combination of Marky Mark and the Roots together making Goodbye Enemy Airship.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Goodbye Enemy Airship, Marco and Bryce. And who did you bring along with you? Who's your friend there?
This is Adele, and she just hitchhiked across Canada. She's from France, and she just hitchhiked across Canada to come and see us.
Hi.
How did you hook up with these guys? Did they pick you up in the bus?
No, actually, I lived in Vancouver 1 year, 2 years ago. So I'm just coming back, and I just hitchhiked all across Canada before arriving in Vancouver yesterday.
Okay, and how did you meet them?
I met them when I was living in Vancouver.
Oh, the first time?
Yeah, the first time.
Okay, I was hoping that they picked you up hitchhiking, because that would be kind of cool, being in a bus. You could just keep picking up your fans, right?
Yeah.
And then you say, go to the gig and be nice to us and protect us.
Yeah.
How would you protect Goodbye Enemy Airship?
How would I protect them?
Yeah, if somebody was mean to them.
I'll answer this question for Adele. She is French Secret Service. We don't talk about it much of the time, but she's a trained black belt. So
just implied protection there. People look at her and realize that that's the way it's got to be.
Oh, and they fear her. She, you know, the tattoos all over her arms.
She bites.
And she will be at the gig
on the 25th.
On the 25th?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Most certainly.
So, yeah, one more time. Where are you playing again? This Monday?
We're playing out North Vancouver at Camilo Studios. And you can get more information about that on our MySpace. So, myspace.com/goodbyeenemyairship.
And there's a few other airships, aren't there? Like, I've Googled your name a few times.
Yeah.
And I get confused because one comes up from Calgary.
Yeah, that's the Electro guys. So, you need to ask Ben about that, because we don't know exactly where the name came from. but Ben does. So we don't know what Ben was thinking when he gave us our name.
That Goodbye Enemy Airship, because if you Google it and put MySpace, sometimes it goes to their site first sometimes.
Yeah.
So it gets a bit confusing.
Yeah. We were talking about possibly inviting him out to Vancouver and having Goodbye Enemy Airship versus Goodbye Enemy Airship.
And so that is on Monday night and then the next Monday after.
Then the Monday after at Casa del Artista.
All ages gig. So here we have right now Big Fancy Parade by Goodbye Enemy Airship. Well, thanks so much, Goodbye Enemy Airship. Keep on rocking in the free world and doot, doot a loot, doo.
Doot, doot.
You're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And that was Goodbye Enemy Airship with Big Fancy Parade. Coming up in an Ardwar to Human Serviette radio show, an interview with, from Los Angeles, California, No Age. Now, here is something from one of Tom Hanks' greatest movies ever. Bachelor Party, and it is the theme song, American Beat, performed by the Fleshtones.
Yeah. Perhaps you've heard about Nemesis, a man who brutally murders.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there from Philadelphia, 1998, The Vipers with Beach Blanket Massacre. And before that, from New York City, circa early 1980s, The Vipers, another band called The Vipers with Surprise, Surprise. And before that, from Los Angeles, California, The 3 o'clock with I'm Going Home. And before that, from the Bachelor Party soundtrack featuring Tom Hanks, The Fleshtones with American Beat. Now it's time to go back to Los Angeles. Coming up, an interview with No Age from Los Angeles. But before that, here is No Age.
I'm Randy Randall of No Age.
And Randy, who'd you have beside you?
Dean Spun of No Age.
Hello, Dean.
Hello.
Welcome to Gorilla Food.
Yes.
So here we are in Gorilla Food. You guys like destroying vegan restaurants, don't you?
Oh, I do, yeah.
What did you do, Randy, particularly in Portland at the Food Fight vegan store?
I didn't do anything.
I feel like you jumped all over the place. What was the Food Fight in-store that you did in your band?
Well, we played at a grocery store, a vegan grocery store called Food Fight, and I jumped off of an amp, but people were bouncing around and knocking spaghetti jars off the shelves.
But you also jumped on top of some sort of like cooler, didn't you?
Yeah, there was a refrigerator. I was climbing on top of the refrigerator and on the amps, but I didn't break any food. I felt really bad that food was broken, but the purveyors of the amazing grocery store thought it was fine and fun.
Well, I just thought that's so awesome that they let you in there and they let the craziness happen.
It was really fun.
Like you weren't afraid to bring the craziness wherever you go.
Well, it's a good time, you know? So it's all the name of fun.
Like, you don't discriminate?
No. God, no.
You can have fun wherever you're at. You know, you can have fun in a restaurant, in a grocery store, in a river. Doesn't matter.
And I've brought you here to Gorilla Food in Vancouver because you guys are indeed vegans.
Yes, we are.
Now, what's the vegan empire going to look there for No Age? The vegan shoes you're working on?
Oh, I would love to work on vegan shoes. What else do we have in the works for veganness?
We made a hat that was made out of cotton and not wool. Pretty vegan.
Dean, did you play a young Steven Spielberg?
Yes, I did.
That is amazing. Can you explain about that, Randy?
I have no idea.
Can you explain about what do you know about Dean being a young Steven Spielberg?
Video, DVD, man.
Oh, what?
Hi.
Dean was a young vegan Steven Spielberg, and I think his lines were all dubbed something to the effect of. That's. I don't think they used his real voice.
What movie was that? And what was it like playing a young Steven Spielberg? And did you take any advice from Steven Spielberg? What was that about?
The movie was called Reflections of Evil, and it was very fun playing Steven Spielberg. And the director gave me a bunch of videotapes of him, of Steven Spielberg as a younger man, and I was just sort of mimicking him.
Where'd you get those videos?
I don't know. The guy just gave them to me.
How young?
Like, well, like mid-20s or something.
So how old were you when you were playing a young Steven Spielberg? Were you older than Steven Spielberg playing Steven Spielberg when he was younger?
No, I was like 18 or something.
You were an 18-year-old playing Steven Spielberg when he was 15.
No, Steven Spielberg was as he was 25 and I was like 18 or 19.
What movie were you directing in the movie?
Oh, I don't remember. Oh. Some Steven Spielberg movie. Steven Spielberg.
It's amazing. Steven Spielberg, Steven Spielberg, gorilla food, vegan stuff. Now, no age. How dare you? How dare you have Jarvis Cocker open for you?
And the Hold Steady. Apparently, they were really upset by that. I swear we were told.
Now, what's that like? Jarvis Cocker opening for no age?
Weird. Not really. It's a festival. It's just like different times.
Only to how many thousand? 17? Was it really 17,000 people?
Yeah, something like that.
It only looked like 14 though.
Yeah. No, I can only see the first like 10 people. After that, it's just haircuts and bobbing mounds of hair.
Did you have any interaction with the man?
No, I did not. No.
What was that? What the hell? It's like man.
I was censoring his name.
What?
Cocker.
Jarvis Cocker.
No, he didn't talk to us at all. We saw the guys in his band, though, and they're all sharply dressed. That's how you could tell they're in the band.
So you're doing the Pitchfork Festival, the 17,000 people. Jarvis Cocker is opening for you. Incredible.
Not really opening, but he just played before we played.
That is opening. Come on.
It's a different stage. I mean, he had a much bigger stage with a video screen. We had a stage without a video screen. So
you weren't on the same stage as him?
No, it was different stages.
Oh, okay. Well, now you're shattered. No, yes, you were. Yes, you were.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, what?
However, riddle me this. No age. We're speaking here to No Age here at Gorilla Food in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You were on the same stage, though, as Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, we were. That is true.
Did Flight of the Conchords open for you?
The day before.
Opening, they played so early, was the last band of the day before. That's how early they played in the week than us.
Did you see Flight of the Conchords?
No. We missed him.
I saw the one guy coming out of the hotel, though. He looked funny just walking.
Because I heard it was like total Jonas Brothers reaction to Flight of the Conchords. Like kids going nuts. We're going nuts for No Age. Did the Jonas Brothers excitement flow over from Flight of Conchords to you guys?
No, but the Jonas Brothers are awesome.
I think we get more of a Miley Cyrus kind of excitement. People don't like know what to...
Are you the girl that I knew from high school sort of thing?
Yeah. Because we're kind of, nice, approachable guys, and they see us on stage, and it's like, whoa, they're like rock stars. And they talk to us afterwards, and...
Put some glasses on, and you're like...
Yeah, then we come off stage, and we're really nice people. And they're like, I can't believe you're that guy.
The Sub Pop Festival is really well organized. They had ATMs?
Did they?
Yeah, remember I took the picture of the lone ATM and put it on the blog?
It's totally on top of it.
They wanted people to pick out money and spend it.
That's really neat. Your blog has some amazing stuff on it there, Randy. Wow. The No Age blog.
Yeah. I'm surprised anyone reads it. I mostly make it for these folks, the friends back home, so they can see what we're doing on tour, but apparently other people see it too.
The photos you have, there's some really neat sort of captions for some of the photos that you have there.
Usually misspelled.
One of the captions that you have, the actual photos that you have in your blog, one of them is, quote, as recommended by Lenny Kravitz.
Yes. Oh, right.
What was that photo about?
The falafel shop. Probably one of the best falafels, I'm going to say worldwide. I've never been to the Middle East or to, other places where made falafels might be better. But the best falafel I've ever had on tour was in Paris, France at, what was the name of it? Now it's going to kill me. But it was recommended by Lenny Kravitz.
I love the other picture you have on your blog. Quote, win a chance to party with Maroon 5.
Yeah, that was good too.
I think those are really funny because we just saw those guys like the week before in LA, and they enjoy their famousness, and so it's just so funny to walk into a truck stop and see them selling Reese's Pieces, and I'm just kind of like, you guys, really take it down a notch. You're awesome, but
win a chance to party with Maroon 5, but be careful what you wish for because both the Donnas and the Hives were invited to tour with Maroon 5.
Oh wow, well, that's
so cool. How long before that happens for No Age?
Hopefully not too long. Jeez.
They're nice enough guys, but I don't know if the kids in Denton, Texas, or just 80 miles outside of there, really want to bro down with Maroon 5, or if Maroon 5 more logic. I don't know if they want to bro down with the truck stop kids that we saw there.
And no age, also some more photos on your blog. An incredible photo. The UK's only American-themed lap dance club.
I didn't know there was such a thing. I thought the whole world knew how to lap dance. But apparently we in America do it better.
Just a great pic. And another pic we have for you, Dean. Check this one out. Lingerie swimwear and clothing for big boobed women.
It's amazing. That was in Brighton, England, and I was so excited by that because there was something else. We saw something else that day that was like big breast. I don't know. It's just inappropriate in all senses of a shop window. But that's
Handjob car wash. There's a car wash called Handjob Car Wash in somewhere in England.
How come that didn't make it to the blog?
We drove by too fast. Yeah. I think I have a photo. I'll put it up.
I'll put it up tonight.
We had to circle around the block again to try to get it, but we just kept driving by too fast.
Because I was having fun on your tour. I really was having fun.
Like, we have fun on tour, so we want to share that, you know.
So thank you so much for posting. I mean, the blog is incredible. It really is.
Like I said, I never imagine anybody looks at it. It's usually just something I do at the end of the night before I go to bed. I just throw some photos up.
Now, what about No Age? Was that really a photo? Was that a real photo, do you think, that Randy took, all these photos I've been commenting on?
What?
They're not real?
Oh.
Like, what is real and what isn't real for No Age?
None of this is real. This is all coming to you on a diode tubes through inner space.
Exactly. You generated and caused this YouTube post, quote, "Indie band No Age covers Nirvana at Sub Pop 20.
Totally not true. No, you said this is a Nirvana cover, and we went into one of ours.
I say it all the time. I just kind of say, like, this is a whatever cover, and then people... I said we did a Napalm Death. No, what did I say?
Op Ivy cover.
Yeah, I said we did an Op Ivy cover, and people were like, that was a great Op Ivy cover, but it wasn't. It was just one of our songs.
The thing about this is some kid YouTubed that, and that's the YouTube listing.
That's pretty awesome.
You click on it, and it's like you guys doing a Nirvana tune.
That's awesome.
That's like the awesomeness of No Age. This trick. Have you done more tricking like that? Is there not too much trickery or half trickery?
There's a little bit of trickery.
Our Sub Pop T-shirt is the cover of Bleach, with it saying No Age nouns on it, and a picture of us. So, but it's a big hit at the office. The Sub Pop office folks like it, so we figured it's okay.
Now, of course, Nirvana had Dave Grohl. He was a drummer, wasn't he, there, Dean?
Oh, geez, yeah.
You're the drummer too.
Yeah.
And you're better than him. One reason. Actually, two reasons. Why is Dean better than Dave Grohl?
Well, he doesn't have the ponytail. I often ask Dean to grow the ponytail.
Number one reason. And number two reason, you have two mics.
Yeah, I do have two mics. Did Dave Grohl, he probably only had one.
What's the deal on two mics? You have two mics when you're drumming. I love that.
I like nuzzling my mouth and my nose in between the mics like this. It's like
for effects or something like that. I love it.
Yeah, no, one's a normal one and the one's an effect one. Sometimes there's effects on it. Rarely, just a little touch.
So this is interesting. Dean is the singer and the drummer. That's pretty rare, isn't it?
I guess. You know, there's bands like Lightning Bolt that have done it. I think Peter Criss sang.
Who's the king of that? Is it Don Henley? Is Don Henley from the Eagles the king of drumming and singing? What would you say, Dean?
Or Phil Collins.
Yeah, Levon Helm from the band. Yeah. He sang The Weight, probably one of the most famous songs, and it was the drummer, too.
Indirectly Canadian content.
Oh, yeah. Husker Du, Grant Hart.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of really great singing drummers. It's the one thing. It looks funny, but I think Dean pulls it off.
You also played the Roskilde Festival.
Yes.
And there were some photos of hippie...
Oh, yeah, hippie hammocks. Well, kind of what happens there is everyone just falls down wherever they're standing and just sleeps. And, like, we were at the airport, and everybody was just asleep. And I don't think we ever get that in America. They're not really allowed to just sleep wherever you fall.
This is at the Roskilde Festival in Europe somewhere?
Copenhagen, Denmark.
Did you go in any hammocks?
No banana hammocks, no.
No Age, here you are in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, at Gorilla Food, and you've brought somebody with you on tour, Jim from The Smell.
We sure have.
What can you say about Jim from The Smell down there?
Oh, my God, Jim's an amazing guy. He works so hard, and he dedicates all his time to doing such an amazing venue.
Jim, No Age are a great publicity machine, aren't they?
Yeah, hell yeah.
For The Smell.
Yeah.
And I think what's so neat, Jim, is you have this great space, The Smell in L.A. What can you tell people about The Smell that don't know about it?
I don't know. I guess with the help of No Age, they know everything.
It's a great all-ages venue. How would you describe it, Dean?
It is a great all-ages venue in downtown Los Angeles, and probably one of, not even probably, it's my favorite place to play.
And what's really cool is that you guys, No Age, champion the smell so much. Like, first off, you love the smell so much, you played outside of the smell.
Yeah, we've played almost everywhere in the smell.
But you've played outside, like, not even in the club. You loved it so much, you played outside. Nobody does that, do they?
Maybe a couple people have, but maybe not where we played. Yeah. I think that was the first where we played in the front space, yeah.
And then you put together a smell party in Austin, Texas.
Actually, Jim did that. We just played it. It was all his baby.
But you still love the smell so much, you know, you let Jim put together a party.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
and
thanks.
This is what's so great. It's like, you love the smell club, which Jim helps run, so much that you bring Jim on tour. You bring the smell with you on tour.
We bring the smell wherever we go. Sometimes we just can't help it.
I just think it's, like, totally incredible that, like, you love a venue so much that not only do you talk about it, you bring Jim from the smell on tour with you.
Yeah, well, I couldn't pass up the opportunity.
He comes with us all the time. We bring the smell in the bathroom, in the toilet, a lot of different places.
Mostly airplanes. A lot of smell follows us. You know what's funny, though? I actually did sound for the Evaporators probably 4 years ago on that tour, and you also did your screening, and I think we talked afterwards, but I was the sound guy, set up all the mics and ran the board that night.
Well, that's what actually I was going to say is, not only does the smell help No Age out, it helped me and my band, the Evaporators, where you hooked me up with a puppet show.
Yes.
Like, when most bands come to town, you know, you have opening bands and stuff like that, don't you? What sort of opening bands have you guys had?
We've had amazing opening bands.
You know, lower class bands like Mika Miko and Abe Vigoda. You know what I mean? The old kind of scum of the earth, right?
Oh, no, the real high class. They're a high class act all the way.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, when the Evaporators roll into L.A., I can't believe it, Jim, you get a puppet show to open for us.
Yeah, how was that?
It was incredible. It's something I will never, ever forget because, first off, we didn't have to go on before the puppet show. We didn't have to open for the puppet show.
True, true.
And you revealed to me that the puppet show contained Miss Future...
Jack Black.
Jack Black's wife!
Wow.
So indirectly, here we are rolling into L.A., the Evaporators playing the smell. We get a puppet show and Jack Black's wife opening for us.
What do you expect? It's the smell.
It's just so amazing. So thank you so much, Jim, for helping out not only No Age, but myself.
My pleasure.
It's amazing.
Anything for you, Nardwar.
And Jim, you can now go enjoy your gorilla food feast.
Great. Thank you.
What do you guys remember about your very first smell show?
That we played or that we went to?
That you went to.
Oh, wow. It blew me away. I was really intimidated by all the cooler looking older people, but I also felt immediately like I could play there. There's just something about it. I mean, I was a punk kid in high school, but I was like, this place seems like I could play here.
What particular bands did you see?
I've seen The Locust, Red Monkey.
What was the first gig that you saw there? What band do you remember seeing there for the first time?
Actually, the first time I went there was just a party, and the second time I went there, I played in a band. But Randy saw Mike Watt.
I saw Mike Watt solo there. It was like an all-bass night. I think Devin Sarno played bass, Mike Watt. It was really amazing. After the show, I met Mike Watt. You know, it was a hero, and so it just felt like one of those places that anything could happen.
And you've played some interesting places in L.A., like you played the L.A. Library.
Yeah, it was incredible.
No, I felt a bit gypped by that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because you didn't play in the Stacks.
They had a very nice auditorium, but I still feel like we were able to be loud in the library, which isn't something you're always asked to do.
It was pretty interesting because I felt gypped, but at the same time enlightened because a lot of these places have stages, but nobody asked to use them.
Exactly, yeah.
No, we think like the library, but they had a stage.
They were ready for us. Yeah. Yeah.
Sound system and everything. Mika Miko played as well, too.
You guys also played Amoeba Records.
Yes, beautiful place.
Have you seen the interview that was done with you at Amoeba Records?
I've seen parts of it, yeah. It was a lot of fun. We kind of sprang it on them as a roundtable because so many good friends were there. We didn't want to just be interviewed by ourselves. We're like, we should all talk because you guys probably have more to say than we do.
It looks like it was edited by the Hills people.
May have been. I don't know.
It's like reaction shots and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's L.A. style. It's how we do it now.
Now, Randy, were you Mr. Mayor?
I was part of the teen advisory committee of my small city, Walnut, California.
So Randy was?
He was the mayor. He was the kid mayor, teen mayor.
I was.
What did you do as teen mayor? What edicts did you pass?
Well, the main reason I did was to try to get a skate park built in my city. And in the 4 years I was teen mayor, that was the one thing I could not get done by the end of it. But we had, that was all I really tried. That was my big dream. But we did have a youth advisory committee where we put on shows and my friends' bands played and my bands played. And it was all around a good time.
Hey, Dean, speaking of where you were growing up, etc., how long has your mom had a silkscreen shop?
Ever since I was 9 or 10.
So what sort of neat silkscreens are available there? Are there some old ones? Like, what sort of stuff does she silkscreen?
She does mainly, like, local football teams and local like shops and different companies and stuff. Although I've been making stuff since I was probably 10 or 11. So weird, you know, art stuff and weird bands and like all sorts of cool stuff.
Who's got stuff made through your mom? Like which teams? Anybody interesting or what sort of stuff? There must be some. This is a great outlet for your band.
Yeah. Teams. Let's see. The Santa Clarita Titans, Hart High School Cheer, Canyon High School Cheer.
There was also a good run of bootlegs, right? You guys were doing for a while.
Yeah. Well, I can't talk about the bootlegs, but.
What does No Age have in common with Two Live Crew?
We're too legit to quit.
That's MC Hammer. Two Live Crew, Luke, maybe nothing. Maybe nothing.
No, bandanas.
Bandanas. They made, oh, wow, yeah, and Motley Crew.
Did they?
I think so. I don't know.
Tell me about the No Age bandana.
Another thing I thought would be cool, or we thought would be cool, because my mom had a silkscreen shop, and we're like, what can we silkscreen?
No, but you misunderstood me. When I called you on the cell phone, I said banana. So we need a no-age banana, and then you came back with a bandana the next day.
Yeah, cool bandana, though.
I learned terms from no-age. You're speaking here to no-age here at Gorilla Food. I learned the term vagina head from you.
Well, that was actually our roadie Jordan Spino. He came up with that one.
What exactly does that mean?
I don't know, I guess.
Or your term, punk pussy.
What is a punk pussy? I don't know. When did I say that?
I heard No Age say the word punk pussy.
I don't know what that means.
It was a cat reference.
Oh, yeah, the punk rock kitty. It's a punk pussy. And then a vagina head, I guess, is someone with a vagina on top of their head.
No Age, the Echo Park Film Center says hi to you.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, they're really great people. And Paulo's like an inspiration. He's one of those people you meet that I just... You know, for the rest of my life, I'll never forget.
What is the Echo Park Film Center?
It's a space that this gentleman, Paolo, opened up to show films and to have young people come and learn to make movies and stuff.
What commercials have you styled? You've been into the styling of commercials, haven't you, Dean?
Yes, yeah. I've worked on Dunkin' Donuts and...
Mountain Dew?
Have I worked on Mountain Dew?
No Age almost styled a Mountain Dew commercial.
No Age, but we would not, no.
You almost styled...
No, we got... Someone wrote us an email about something to do with Mountain Dew, and we said no.
But what I'm curious about is, what they do is, they say, okay, No Age can't do it. We'll get some band that sounds like No Age to do it, and everybody thinks you did it.
Really? I didn't...
That's what they do for ads.
Oh, wow.
That's what the ad execs go, oh, we want No Age. Okay, they can't do it. I'll just get a couple guys in the studio to recreate what No Age did.
Yeah. Awesome.
Wow, cool.
I want to hear that.
And everybody comes up to you and goes...
And goes, why didn't you get paid for that? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know.
Or they think you actually did it.
Yeah, but we didn't. We didn't. I don't know.
Imagine how a band would sound like No Age. I don't know why they'd want to. I don't know why they would want to sound like us. Hard enough time sounding this way.
No Age, here you on tour, up and down the West Coast, all across all these nations, continents, etc. You have had introduction to a new MC, haven't you?
Meaning what?
Who's the new MC for No Age?
The new MC for No Age...
Pete Wentz.
Oh, yeah. Petey. Big Petey. Yeah.
Has Pete Wentz been helping you out?
He hasn't at all.
He introduced you guys, though.
Well, yeah, no. He interviewed us briefly for MTV America, and he was actually a really nice guy. We talked a little bit about Chicago hardcore, and he was a nice guy, but, you know.
But then he provides some opportunity for you guys to party with T.I. You were on a giant show with T.I.
Yeah, we did hang with T.I. Yeah, T.I. and Rihanna.
Yeah.
They didn't look at us or speak to us at all, and we were sort of put in the corner.
Did you look at them? Like, what do you do? Like, I'm going to look at Rihanna today.
I tried to be like, hey, but they just split past me. Yeah. Didn't want anything to do with it.
Those folks have people that keep people away from them, so they travel with a crew, where I think our crew, we, like, talk to more people that way, but their crew kind of keeps people from talking to them.
Winding up here, No Age, you guys also played with the Sonics?
No.
They played at Primavera Festival?
Oh, yeah. But that festival, it's not like you're really playing with them. It's like you know, we also technically played with Jay-Z and...
Judas Priest. And Neil Young.
But, I mean, not really. You know.
What a lineup. Can you just restate that again?
Yeah, it was My Bloody Valentine, Judas Priest, Neil Young, and Jay-Z.
And
No Age.
With Jarvis Cocker.
Yeah, that was a different one. But it was insane, yeah. But no time were we ever within, you know, 1,000 feet from any of those people.
No. Maybe My Bloody Valentine. We were up front for a minute there, so.
No Age, anything else you want to add to the people out here at all?
Do what you want to do. Have fun. Enjoy yourselves. If you guys have any ideas about starting bands, making music, go ahead and do it, because that's what we did.
Why should people care about No Age? Why should people care?
I don't know.
I care.
Because we're vagina heads.
And you're also vegans.
I don't think people have to care about that.
Yes, they should care about that, because today, here we are at Gorilla Food. Are you guys hungry?
Yes, we're ready.
Are you ready for your food?
Yes, please.
Aaron, are we ready for the food? And here we have, what is happening right now here? Could you please explain, Randy?
Yeah, we're at an amazing raw vegan restaurant called Gorilla Food, and Aaron's about to bring us out some crackers and guacamole, which I ordered.
And what else do we have here, Aaron?
This is the kale toss salad with a walnut cilantro dressing.
What can you explain about these? These are 100% vegan, aren't they?
100% vegan, organic.
What do you think about the order that No Age took? What do you think about the order? What can you say about No Age from the order?
Do okay.
Yeah, I think you guys did all right. Yeah, I've got one more salad coming, the jungle coleslaw. That one's another good one. Looks like they like it.
You want to get the audio of this snapping into this? Are you ready?
Okay, Aaron, we're ready for more here. This is fascinating. What do you have?
I'm having the raw, organic, vegan crackers and guacamole and the jungle slaw.
And Dean, what are you having?
I'm having the famous gorilla salad. But Nardwar, where's your food?
God, I wish I could have a hamburger. There's no vegan raw hamburger. Oh, my God, Aaron!
Oh, there we go.
What is this?
It's a raw gorilla food veggie burger.
Oh, thank you so much, No Age, Aaron, for bringing me here. This is amazing. Well, keep on rocking in the free world, No Age, and doot doot-a-loot-doo. Doot doot! Ow!